By the way, you have no idea how nice it is to be able to look at my notes and actually be able to see them. The eye doctor this week said I have 20/20 vision. I haven't had 20/20 vision probably since I was 20 years old. So it's good to feel young again. From the Gospel according to Luke, from the 10th chapter, we hear these words. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if there's anybody there who shares in this peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Here ends this reading from the Gospel according to Luke. You know, as I read through the Bible, usually there's something that strikes me. Sometimes it's an idea. Sometimes it's a phrase like, "This too shall pass." And sometimes it's just a word. As I was reading through this scripture, what caught my attention was a word. Jesus here has sent 70 disciples out to prepare the way, to go ahead of him, to do the kinds of things that he's been doing. They come back amazed at the difference that they can make in other people's lives. Jesus says, "That's really cool, isn't it?" But then gives them a word of caution. Then he uses the word that caught my attention. That word is nevertheless. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, he says, don't get too caught up in what you're doing. Remember that your names are written in heaven. Nevertheless. Do you know what it means? Nevertheless. It means in spite of or however. Though things seem to be this way, you choose to live another way. Though the truth seems to be one particular thing, there is a more important truth that you choose to follow. In 2001, there was a guy by the name of Jason Rasmussen who decided to go hiking up in the Boundary Waters just up north of Minnesota, up in the Canada area, and he got horribly lost. Had no idea where he was. He could have given up, right? Do you think he did? Nevertheless, he decided to continue to hope for help. About a month ago, there was a tragic shooting at Walmart in Beaver Creek. Tomorrow, there are a group of people who are going to gather together, who are going to try to decide whether or not the things that happened justify an indictment. There's going to be lots of people who will be protesting, and my guess is Xenia is going to make national news. What can we do? We can't change the events. We can say, though, nevertheless, I believe there is something we can do. We can pray and we can speak a word of peace. There's a guy named Robert Fulgrim, who tells the story about finding a piece of a broken mirror. He says it doesn't reflect a lot of light, but it does reflect some. Even though it doesn't reflect a lot of light, nevertheless, he says, he tries to play a game with himself of shining it, using it to shine into dark corners of the world. The scripture for today starts out by saying, "The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs." During September, we've been asking the question, what would it look like to be the church without walls? I've been suggesting that we are a church on a mission. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We are a people, in other words, who are sent. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. What we do in this building is important, but the church at its best is what we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the rest of the week. Jesus sent his disciples out and he said, "You're going to find this is a piece of cake. No one's ever going to get in your way. Nobody's ever going to do anything to disagree." Right? Is that the way the story goes? Oh, come on. You're with me here still, right? No. Jesus says, "No, I send you out. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And then he says, and it's even worse than that, he says, "I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Have you ever seen a lamb in the midst of wolves? Do you know what happens to a lamb when they're thrown into a pack of wolves? I've never seen it happen personally, but I can imagine that it's not pretty. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like a lamb in the midst of wolves? Like you're trying to be kind, but people just return the favor by being mean? Like you're trying to be giving, but people return the favor by just keep taking? Like you're trying to be forgiving, but people use it as permission to keep on sinning? So what are some of those wolves? What are some of those walls that stand in the way of us being able to serve? Well, here are some that I tend to hear. Here's the way I would answer that question. I hear people say, well, I don't serve because I just don't have the time. There's just too much else going on. Or sometimes because I don't have the money. I can't go on the mission trip because I don't have the money to be able to pay for it. Or more commonly, I'm just one person. Or why should I help people in the other part of the world? There are people right next door that need my help. You heard that one? Or what do I get out of this? Sure, it's good to help other people, but why do I get out of it? Or aren't there other people who would do a better job than I can? Or isn't that somebody else's job? And it's true. These are real obstacles. So what can we say? How can we respond? Do you know the story of Dr. David Livingston? Dr. David Livingston was a medical missionary in the middle 1800s who did some of the early work in Africa, going to some really remote parts of Africa where nobody else dared to go, to try to improve their living conditions, to try to improve people's health, and maybe to bring the gospel to them. Do you remember the story? There was a guy named Stanley who went from London to visit him, and after months of searching, finally found him and hardly recognized him and said what is a famous line, Dr. Livingston, I presume. He then said to Dr. Livingston, you know, it would be a lot easier for people to come and help you if there were roads here. Why don't you build some roads? Or why don't you let me help you build some roads? And you know what Dr. Livingston said? I love this line. He said, I don't want folks who will only come here if there's a good road. I only want the folks who will come here if there's no road. Are you one of those who is sent? Are you willing to do the hard thing, even if it's the right thing? Are you willing to overcome some of those obstacles that exist to us serving? Are you willing to go, even when the way forward isn't clear? If you are, then maybe some of Jesus' advice to those disciples is good advice to us also. For example, he says, carry no purse, no bag, don't even take any sandals. Or in other words, keep it simple. Focus on the mission. We live in a complicated world, and it's easy to get caught up in the stuff that isn't all that important. I mentioned just a little bit ago in 2001, there was a guy by the name of Jason Rasmussen. He was 29 years old. He was a third-year medical student, grew up in Milwaukee, who decided that before he went into his residency, he knew that his life was going to get crazy. He wanted to take a little time to get away and relax, and so he decided to go camping. He went up into the boundary waters north of Minnesota. And got way, way out in the middle of nowhere and got horribly, horribly lost, had no idea where he was. He found a safe place in a fallen tree and kind of carved out a spot in the pine tree. He said he spent most of his time imagining food in Milwaukee. He'd imagine the food from his favorite restaurants. He especially liked Chinese and Mexican. He'd imagine how it tasted and how it smelt and even how it felt. Every now and then, he'd hear a plane fly over. Now, he had every reason to give up, but do you think he did? He chose instead to follow along the path of this word that I'm suggesting is important from the scripture. Do you remember what that word was? Nevertheless. Nevertheless, whenever he would hear the engines of a plane, he'd go out, he had a whistle. He'd run out as far as he could in the direction of that plane. He'd jump up and down, and he'd blow the whistle as loud as he could. A group of more than 70 trained rescuers eventually heard his whistle and engaged in the search and found him. He kept blowing his whistle. He kept shouting as loud as he was able. And on a Wednesday at about 1:40 in the afternoon, his family got a call from the Lake County Sheriff's Police Department that he had been found. He didn't give up. Do you know what it's like to feel like you've been sent on a mission, but you've gotten distracted along the way? Have you ever tried to go where the Lord was calling you, but then found that life got too complicated and you got caught up in all the distractions? Is it time to say, what's our word? Nevertheless, I will follow. I will follow, Lord, where you're sending me. And if you do, when you get there, what are you supposed to do? Do you remember that part of this story? What is the message that Jesus told these disciples? When they got to a house, what were they supposed to say? Peace. Peace on this house. We are supposed to be peace bringers. We're supposed to offer God's peace. Right now in Xenia, we're being reminded that we live in a violent world, that in the early part of August, there was a horrible tragedy that happened at the Beaver Creek Walmart. Do you know this story? There are actually two very different versions of this story out there. One of them is that a young African-American man in his early 20s took what turned out to be a toy gun that looked very real and was waving it around, and people got scared. The other version of the story is that the way that he was treated and the way that people reacted to him was because of the color of his skin, and that people overreacted. I mention that today because tomorrow it's going to the grand jury at the Greene County Courthouse, and so I thought we all ought to be aware of what's going on. So far, we don't know the whole truth. What we do know is, and this is Derek's words, everybody's lost so far. The family of John Crawford III has lost because they've lost somebody that they loved. The officer has lost, the officers involved has lost because their lives will probably never be the same. The folks that were at the Beaver Creek Walmart have lost because they live in fear now of wondering what's going to happen next. We lose because it's a reminder of how violent the world can be. So what can we do? Well, one of the things we can do, I think, is we can say, nevertheless. Nevertheless, we can pray. We can pray for everybody who's involved, for the officers, for John Crawford, for the folks that will be visiting Xenia to try to watch what's going on, we can pray. Another thing that we can do is, I'll be there on Monday, I'll be there tomorrow out on the Greene County Courthouse, and my hope will be that I'll have the opportunity to speak a word of peace, that I'll be able to do what Jesus sent those disciples to do and speak some peace in what is liable to be a fairly touchy situation. There's one last thing that I'd like to note, and it has to do with joy. When the disciples that Jesus sent out came back, they came back with joy. There is, I believe, a relationship between risk and reward, between sacrifice and joy. Those who are willing to take the risk are more likely to see the reward. Don't you think it's true that the things that we have risked the most for, that we have been the most willing to sacrifice for, are also the things that have brought us the most joy? Which brings me to the place in this scripture where Jesus uses this word, nevertheless. The disciples come back and they say, we have seen some great things happen in your name. And Jesus says, in effect, don't get too caught up in yourselves and your own ability. Nevertheless, remember that your names are written in heaven. Or never lose sight of how what you're doing has eternal value. Back in the 1980s, there was a guy by the name of Robert Fulghum who grew up in Europe. Well, he grew up in the 1930s and 1940s, but he wrote his book in the 1980s, a book called Everything I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. You know this book? It was so popular that he wrote a follow-up to the book that was titled It Was on Fire When I Laid Down on It. In his follow-up book, he tells the story about being a child growing up in the 1930s in Europe and how one day he found a broken piece of a German motorcycle mirror. He says he picked up the largest piece that he could find and he started rubbing it against a rock to polish it down so that it didn't have sharp sides. And he managed to get it so it was a fairly smooth piece of mirror. He said he used to like to play a game where he'd find the darkest little corner that he could and he'd see if he could use that to reflect some light into those dark little corners that he found. As he continues the story, he says, as I became mature, I grew to understand that this was a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I came to understand that I am not the light or even the source of light, but light, truth, understanding, knowledge is there, and it will shine in many dark places if I only reflect it. I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I do have, I can reflect light into the dark places of the world and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. I know that none of us will never know all there is to know about God. God is far too great for that. But nevertheless, we can know something. And that something that we do know, we can share with others. 2 weeks ago, I challenged you to look for ways that you can be the church without walls, that you can be the church beyond the walls of this faith community building. And then last week, I asked you if you would share what some of those ways that you found were. Are you interested what people responded by saying? These are some of the things that folks found to do. One person said, I weeded and mulched a neighbor's flower beds. One person said, I paid it forward by paying somebody's water bill. One person said, we created an anger box to deposit money when we yell. We wanted to break down the walls of our anger that anger was creating in our family. We sponsored a family's dance costume to break down some financial barriers. We helped pack a friend's belongings who was moving from her apartment into assisted living. I was able to share my personal testimony of God's faithfulness and healing. We held a VBS at a low-income apartment complex to bring the Lord to people outside the church walls. We picked tomatoes for the food pantry. We made quilts for the Henderson settlement. We witnessed to 4 people and prayed for another 8 more. We sent cards of sympathy to somebody who is ill or facing a difficult time. Made a get well or thinking of you call. Volunteered at the hospital. These are people who said, even though the world is this way, nevertheless, the challenges and the need are great. What can we say? What's our word? Nevertheless, I will go. You've been given a mission. You have been put here for a reason. It will not be easy. But what can you say? Nevertheless, I will follow. The answers can be complicated and it's easy to get distracted. What can we say? Nevertheless, I will be faithful. The world will be violent and the barriers will be resistant. But what can we say? Nevertheless, I will speak peace. It will be tempting to think that when it does work, we're doing such a great job, that we are that good. But what can we say? Nevertheless, we will give God the credit. Next weekend, I want to make sure there's been a note made that we will not be meeting here. We will be meeting together as one church in partnership with United AME Church over at the Pavilion at Shawnee Park. The worship service is at 10:30. The weather forecast right now is a high of 79 and a low of 56. So for all of those of you who have been praying, it looks like the prayers are being answered. It looks like the weather is supposed to be beautiful. Dr. Fitzhugh, who is the president of Payne Theological Seminary, will be our best guest speaker. Things admittedly will be a little bit different. It will probably be a little bit cooler than it is in here, and it will be a little bit harder to get there. But what can we say? Nevertheless, I will go. I look forward to seeing you next week. Blessings.